Okay, so let's reconvene. So what I'm going to invite you to do is to break into a group of two. Do not choose the person that you came with as your partner. Choose someone that you don't know or not the person that you came with and break into a group of two. And what I'm going to do is just give you 3 minutes to share the story that goes with the numbers on the stress scale, and just be heard. And I'm going to invite the person who's listening to just step into those guidelines for sharing that we already shared, and just listen, be a heart with ears. You don't have to say anything except thank you for sharing. And for some of you, that will be a challenge, as you'll want to say, oh, me too, oh, me too, oh, did you read this book, oh, have you? And I just invite you to just hold that loving energy all in your heart and silently bless the person without fixing, rescuing, recommending books or whatever is coming up for you. And just hold the space of loving them all through your listening. And then when they're done, say thank you for sharing. And you may say, would you like a hug? And if they say yes, you can give them a hug. And then we'll switch. And you'll stay with that same person, but you will be heard. And just notice what it feels like to really be heard. And you may also notice that as I've taken away words, because all I'm giving you is thank you for sharing and would you like a hug, that it actually invites you to a deeper listening and a deeper heart connection, because you can communicate to the person that you care by how you're listening, just how you're being and holding the space, really listening. Okay, so for some of you, 3 minutes won't be half enough time or 10% enough time, and I'm going to invite you to notice that too, and nonetheless, after 3 minutes, to switch. Yes, Ruth?
I just have the question, do you want us just to go like a more surface type grief, or like into, like, does our sharing, do you want our sharing to be more like just on the things that happened in the last year, or if the things that are deeper happened longer ago, do we share about those?
Did you put them on your list?
No.
Okay. Well,
so
then, if they are
things on the list,
no, because you started off your question with, "Do I want to be surfacey?" Do I? So that means that you have identified that they should be on the list, although they're older than 12 months. So I invite you to tune into that wisdom, and I give you permission to put them on the list, and you know, just put a number that is appropriate for you, your experience today, and don't be overly attached. It's not like a going to have a quiz on this. It's not like we're going to show Thomas Holmes and Richard Rahe your number. So my invitation is that you take care of you this weekend and that you share what feels safe. And my invitation is for you to take this opportunity to be heard. Maybe you haven't shared this with anybody. You know, you can share surfacey things anytime. This is an opportunity to really be heard and to allow the person who's listening to you to be the divine angel that is their true essence as they hold that space for you to be heard. Because in my experience, until we're heard, we can't release it. But once we express it, we can release it. But until we express it, it's like that thing we sweep under the carpet that causes the carpet to lump. Does that answer your question, Ruth?
I'm not sure.
Come talk to me if you need more clarity.
Okay.
Okay, what part of that's not clear?
Okay, the things that have happened in the last year are like moving and those kind of
so
things.
What,
and
what's I don't not need, on the list?
That's the old things.
Like?
The five deaths in the family before I was 26.
Okay.
And they're like always there, and they're not. I mean, I feel like I've done so much work.
But they're always there. Okay,
so they're always there.
Her statement that they're always there tells me that they're not released yet.
Right.
And that time does not heal, right?
No, it doesn't.
Thomas Holmes and Richard Rahe didn't know that, so they put the 12 months. So I command you, because you don't seem to like invitations, to write them on the list, put the 5 deaths that happened, and put a number.
Okay.
And add it to your total. Would you be willing?
Yes. Thank you.
Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay, good. Some people like to be invited, and other people like to be told. I'm more comfortable inviting, but I want to be of service. Okay, whatever it takes. Any other questions? Okay. Add to your list if you need to. Ruth's blessing the whole group with her question. If you notice something needs to be added to your list, I instruct you to add it to your list. I invite you to add it to your list. Okay. You can work with the person you came to if you absolutely only feel comfortable with that person. And I invite you to work with somebody who doesn't know you so that you can be heard in a different and more profound way. Choose your partner and take 3 minutes to share it. Okay. The exercise is to look at your stress scale, and you're just going to share the story that goes with the stress scale with the other person, and they are simply going to fully hear you and be a heart with ears. They're not going to say, oh, me too, or they're not going to say, oh, have you read this book? I think it would be helpful. They're not going to fix or analyze or problem solve. They're just going to listen fully, attentively listening. It takes a lot of energy to really listen. That's why coaches are paid so well. Is actually much more effortful to fully be present and listen than to talk. So the other person's just going to listen, and then at the end of the 3 minutes, I'm going to, you know, time's up. If you haven't quite finished, you'll graciously wrap it up. And the person's going to say, thank you for sharing. And they're going to ask, would you like a hug? You may say yes or no. If you say yes, then you'll have a hug. Then you'll switch. You'll stay with that same person. But you will be the speaker, or you'll switch the listener and the speaker role. So for example, it might sound something like, for me, it might sound something like, okay, gosh, what day is it today? It's the 17th, right, of April. Oh, wow. 364 days ago, you know, I met the man that I'm now in love with. So I fell in love. I moved in with him. So that's a move. And so those would be two things. So if I had the number, where's the moving? I would have circled moving. Okay, 45 life partnership. So I would say, it might be my first thing. I come up to 45 life partnership, and I give myself 45. I am wearing a ring. So, but I wouldn't just say, oh, 45 for marriage, 30 for moving. I got, 207. No, I would tell the story that goes with it. So I'd say, but I would be triggered by what I've written. So I'd say, oh, I've got 45 for marriage or establishing life partnership. And I'd say, you know what? On April the 18th, I met this really cool guy, and his name is Wiley Stateman, and we fell in love, and, you know, then I'm so happy about that, but it's exciting and scary at the same time, and so I gave myself a 45, and I move down, and I see maybe the next thing that I'd circled would be moving, and I would say, and I officially moved in with him on February the 1st, and that was drama and trauma, and my stuff is still all over the place, disorganized. And we had our first fight the day I moved in. And now it's all good. I got 30 for moving, and we sorted it all out. It was great. And, and I might have like, I might have circled 25, outstanding personal achievement. I'd say, hey, you know, I did this TV gig in January, and I flew to Hartford, Connecticut, and they gave me a really great TV interview about my book, and I was just so thrilled with that, and that's why I've circled 25 there. So I might have something like that. And, you know, then I would share my number. So I'm not just sharing the number, but I'd also share the story that goes with it. Thanks for that. Suzanne. Suzanne is asking if you could change the numbers. Yeah, you can change the numbers. And this, what we're looking for is the change, not the perceived stress. So I'm not asking how much stress you are experiencing. I'm asking how much change you are experiencing. So Suzanne actually came up to me on the break, and she had a really great idea. She said we should have an unstress scale for all the things that we do that reduce our stress, like yoga and breathing and exercise and meditation and journaling and gratitude and having a coach or being a coach. And we should have an unstressed scale. And That's skipping a step ahead. So we're not skipping that step ahead to your perceived experience of stress at this moment, anyway. Although my invitation is that by the end of the weekend, your perceived experience of the stress may be in the green zone, even though you might be in the red zone or the orange zone with your actual number. But that's skipping ahead, as Suzanne is brilliantly suggesting. And at the same time, it's just an arbitrary scale. I give you permission to make it fit you better. It's just a tool that we're using to be of assistance. It's not the God of our understanding. You are the God of your world and your understanding. Okay, is that clear? Can we do this exercise now or more questions? Yes, clear? Okay, please choose your partner and begin sharing. So what did it feel like to be heard? I'd love to have some sharing around what did it feel like to be heard. What did it feel like to be heard? And I'm curious, did you feel closer to this person as they confessed some things they probably don't share? Or did you feel less close to them? Did you feel closer to this person as they confessed some things they probably normally would hide from the world? Or did you feel less close to them? Did you feel, oh, she or he is more like me? Or did you feel like, whoa, I want to get away? Who wants to share their experience around the sharing itself? Lori.
It felt wonderful to share with Ruth.
Yes.
Because I've isolated myself and others have not bothered to check up on me, it felt wonderful to be able to talk to somebody and get through things that I've held in for so long. And I feel closer by the minute with Ruth because she does listen. And you can, the best way I can tell if somebody's listening is you can see it in their eyes.
Yes.
And we, with the eye contact, and I knew she was hearing every word I said.
Yes, yes. So what a gift Ruth gave with her deep listening. And what a gift Lori received in 3 minutes by sharing some things that she's been keeping in. Good. Thank you. Good sharing. Who else would like to share what it felt like to be heard? Barry.
Well, I feel like the things I had to share were rather benign because I'm at that point in my life where an awful lot's been worked through. But Erin listened so beautifully that it was, she made it feel important enough.
Nice.
But the thing that was such a gift for me is her sharing with me.
Yes.
Because we don't get to meet each other on a deeper level, and she just opened up a beautiful, beautiful door, and I feel very blessed to have been allowed to listen.
Yes. You're probably starting to fall in love with her already.
Oh, yes.
So when someone authentically shares, especially when they may have a lot of heartache and they are willing to share, they give a gift because they're saying, I trust you. And you receive that gift. And what I notice is oftentimes we hold back because we think we're going to be condemned or we're going to be judged. But the opposite happens. You know, Therry fell in love with Erin or started that process because Erin showed up authentically herself. Beautiful. I had that same struggle with my book because I didn't know then what I know now. And my book is my diary, for God's sake. It's a diary of healing, you know? And there's moments in there where, you know, I'm completely self-absorbed. I'm despairing. I'm guilty. I'm discouraged. I think it's all my fault. I'm, you know, what is the point of life? There's points in there, what I'm self-pitying, there's points in there that I would like to have airbrushed. Can we just clean that up a little bit? And I thought, no, because if I airbrush it, it won't be the gift I want it to be. I want other people to read my book and go, well, I don't know about her, but I'm doing okay. No, I wanted to read my book and go, wow, she felt that way? Oh, it's okay then that I feel that way. And maybe you feel like you're getting through it faster or better than I did. Great. Because, you know, my book does start with despair and heartbreak and the lowest low, but I do end up happy. So I want people not to read my book and go, I can't even grieve, right? I want them to go, no, that was the truth with all the snotty bits. You know, when you're blubbering. And I was really afraid. I'm a Leo. Leos are proud. We are vain. A lot of speakers are Leos. We like to be on the stage. We like the limelight. You know, it's not a mistake that I was in the film business. But I decided that I would rather have 99 people read my book and condemn me and have it be a gift for that one person who was just like me, who was anguished and despairing over the death of her husband. Because literally, I wrote that book thinking it would only help other young mothers whose husbands died suddenly who had young children. I really did. I didn't know then what I know now, which is that we're all really the same and that it's not about the storyline, it's about the heart line. So I really, in my innocence, thought it would probably, when published, result in 99 people out of 100 going, wow. And I was willing to bear that so that it would help that one person who was just like me. So imagine my surprise when I discovered that I had the ratios wrong, and maybe there is one person out of 99 who condemns me. They don't talk to me, so I don't really know. But by and large, most people go, wow, my story's different, but you're just like me. Nancy, you know, you shared with me this morning, you so moved me by your sharing. And she said, wow, I'm going to give your book to my children. Because they'll understand what I'm going through. Because I could have written this book. You said it for me. You're the person I wrote the book for. Yeah, I did. And I've been so moved to discover it's helped so many others as well. Because we're all really just the same. And so that's using my book as an example. Aaron just did it beautifully. So as we all share our own truth, as we all share our own intimate diary of who we really are and what's really weighing on our heart, amazingly enough, people's hearts open in love. So, very cool. Anyone else have something they'd like to share? Aha, insight. Dina.
Aha moment, and you just said it. It's not about the storyline, it's about the heart line. Grief is grief, no matter what the circumstances are.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to write that one down.
Okay, you have permission. Take that, write down that aha. And that's why we cannot judge lesser or more, and it's an irrelevant conversation, really. You know, when I'm training coaches, I do recommend that you choose a niche so that if you've experienced perhaps the death of a child, you coach people through that. If you've got special needs child, you coach people through that. You choose a niche. And from a different perspective, it's irrelevant because grief is grief, as you're saying, Dina. And someone may be experiencing a huge loss over the death of a horse. And we might want to compare that to other losses, but it's not actually about whether it's a horse who died or a person who died. It's about the heart connection of the person remaining behind with the horse or the person or the job or the church community. It's about their heart strings. Great. Anyone else an aha? Yes, Julia.
Well, I'm struggling with something which I think that you'll be able to assist me with, which is I shared with Babette and my son and I, we just suffered such an avalanche of grief.
Yes.
Just so many back to back to back. And I just was really pissed. Well, just really angry because it's not sort of like what I had chosen for my life plan.
Yes.
And I didn't really
Good
want to be delivered this role to play.
Yes.
People would just kind of not turn and look at me. But it was just kind of like, oh, you know, looking at her, I didn't necessarily feel a victim. It just, the stuff kept happening to me and I sort of accepted it.
Yes.
Because my husband was British and there is that stiff upper lip aspect.
How's that working for them? Yes.
Well, that's how the Brits, I lived in England, that's how they got through World War II. You know, you just don't fold. And I couldn't because I was the only one there for my son.
Yes.
Really. But there was that kind of anger, which I think is maybe part of what's still left.
Yes.
About and I understand that it is my gift to give to the world. It's kind of now I'm more happy, healthy chocolate lady. I really like that role better.
I'm still waiting for that chocolate. She's teasing me with the chocolate.
I'm not a tease.
Oh, okay, okay.
No,
asking you shall receive.
Go.
Woo. Thank you.
There's more.
See Julia about happy, healthy chocolate.
I know.
Okay,
I
so what's your question? What's your challenge? What I heard is you're angry and pissed, and I'm like, all right! And you do segue me into a point about that. Is that where your question is? Because I'd like to talk about anger, if that would serve you.
I think it would. It's like I feel like I've moved past the deaths, and I finally have worked on that. I see that my son perhaps hasn't as much. Maybe there's part of me that hasn't, and now I'm finding that anger coming up that I'm resisting in a way what happened.
Don't we women all resist anger?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anger,
so. You're actually segueing me into something I was going to talk about a little bit later, but I'm going to talk about it now because it's a good question. And you just excuse me while we zip past the PowerPoint. Don't look at it. Oh no, it's not that far. Okay. So if you really understood this chart, it would change your life. This is from David Hawking's book, Power versus Force. So above, this is the tipping point between positive and negative, right? Underneath courage is positive. So all of these emotions down here are negative, and everything above 200 courage is positive emotion. So that's the tipping point there. I'm loving this little pointer. That's so cool. Thank you, Chuck. Aww. Asking you to receive doesn't always work, or it's just got a delay. I could buy myself this little toy. Okay, so what Julia was saying, although maybe she didn't have the same language, when she said, I'm past the grief, I'm into anger, she was saying, I'm not vibrating at 75 anymore. I'm at 150. So I want to explain this to you because this is so important to understand for ourselves and for coaching others to help them through it. So grief is a very low, slow vibration. Okay, everything is vibration. Consciousness is vibration. Everything is a wave form. Light is a wave form. Sound is a wave form. This is a wave form. Emotion is a wave form. Consciousness is a wave form. Everything is a wave form. This is an arbitrary scale from 1 to 1,000, with 1,000 being in an enlightened being like Jesus or the Buddha, and the rest of us mere mortals being somewhat below that. But we can all identify with most of these points, having probably personally experienced all of them, at least in moments. So when somebody is grieving, they're at a very low vibration. And it's very easy for somebody who's grieving to fall down deeper into the well because it's slippery and dark, and to go into apathy. Apathy is very very little life force. And it's very common, in fact, 100% of the people that I've personally coached have all slipped into guilt. Now and again, this is why I say it's so important to tell other people, and especially children, it's not your fault, it's not your fault, it's not your fault. Because it's very easy to slip from grief down into guilt. You'd be amazed the stories that I hear about how people blame themselves. And they don't understand that it's like, it'll come up like after a few coaching sessions or sometimes with me, it'll be the first coaching session because they've already decided to trust me. But a lot of times, it won't come up right away. Like, I remember after my husband died, I went to see a counselor because I was desperate. Like, I can't stand this anymore. And I finally, after seeing her for 3 times, I decided that I could trust her. And finally, I confessed what was weighing on my heart as guilt because I thought I had killed him because I didn't know CPR. And he died in front of me. And had I known CPR, you know, he wouldn't have died. At least that was my truth at that moment. And that weighed on me like I crucified myself with that. And it just wasn't true. With the sound that woke me, it would have been already too late. And what I've since learned is that everybody crucifies themselves. Everybody has a story of how it's their fault. And grief is bad enough, but guilt is the flypaper that keeps you stuck. And then it's easy to go from guilt to shame. Because if you cause this horrible thing, this divorce, this death, this bankruptcy, this job loss, and from shame, it's not very far to slip off existence into death, literal physical death. You know, the word for shame in French, it has an English equivalent, which we call to be mortified. I'm mortified. And the root word of mortified is mort, M-O-R-T, mort, means death. So when we're mortified, we're experiencing a little death. And when people are filled of shame, they experience a very low vibration and can slide into it. And this also ties into parenting, because how many times do we, while we mean to be helpful, we shame our children. Haven't you done your homework? Didn't you do this? Didn't you do this? And we're pushing them down where they're going to be even less able to do their homework or show up in whatever way they would like. And don't talk to Yale about this one. You know, we're all human. I'm sure every parent in the room has done this on occasion, and I am guilty too. Sorry. Okay, so back to this. So from grief, fear is still a negative emotion, but it has more life force than grief. So actually, if you were, say, coaching a widow, and her husband had died and she was not working, you would be giving her a gift if you triggered fear by saying, well, how are you going to survive? Who's going to pay the mortgage? How are you going to feed your children? Fear is a negative, but it's going to motivate more action than sliding into apathy, right? Because you've got to get busy and get a job, figure out how to, you know, pay the mortgage. From fear, well, we'll just skip to anger. Say somebody's dealing with a divorce. Very easy to be angry. And somebody who's not knowledgeable of this might shame the woman from being angry, and then she would slip back to grief. And so a lot of people do this. They go grief, anger, grief, anger, grief, anger, grief, anger, especially when they're dealing with a divorce. Because, well, Julia was bringing up this point, in our society, especially women, are taught not to be angry. But I want you to know this, because anger can be a stepping stone up to pride or courage or these more positive emotions. So when you give yourself permission and you give your coaching clients permission to feel angry, it's like you've got that rope ladder, they're down at the bottom of the well, you've got the flashlight, and it's just a rung on the ladder. And if you know that that's what it is for you, then you can reach higher. If you make yourself wrong, then you can keep going anger, grief, anger, grief, anger, grief. That's not, we don't want that dance. That's not too much fun. And from anger to pride is pretty easy to go, and that can be helpful. Say, using again the example of divorce, you could say to a woman who's angry that her husband's having an affair, and angry that he's left her, and angry that she's getting a divorce, you would trigger pride by saying something, well, you deserve better than that. You're a beautiful woman. You're capable, you're competent. You deserve better than that. That's pride. Still negative, but more energy than anger, and easier from pride for her to maybe reach to courage, which is the next rung up on the ladder, to have the courage to do what needs to be done to get her life back together again. You know, to have the courage to get a job or have the courage to let go and finalize the divorce or whatever might be the right choice for her, to have the courage to do that. From courage, we can go up to neutrality, which isn't apathy. Neutrality is, well, if not this job, the next job. If not this man, you know, the next man. If not this career, well, the next career. If not this house that I've put a purchase order or an offer in, then be the next house. So it's just willingness to not be overly attached. And then from there, willingness is higher. So when I'm coaching people, I often say, would you be willing to do this exercise with me? And so right away, I'm inviting them to 310, which is a lot higher than grief. So you can use that vocabulary with others and with yourself, you know. Okay, I'm willing to consider the possibility. I'm willing to do this coaching exercise. I'm willing to be in this room. I'm willing to face my challenges. I'm willing to look at how big my number is on my stress scale. I'm willing to take a risk and talk to Ruth. And wow, that was a gift Lori discovered, right? Okay, and then from willingness, acceptance. And that was, you were sharing about the wisdom of acceptance from your grandmother, right? And that is a very high vibration. And then this is the place that we're so infatuated with in North America, which is reason. So reason is great. Reason is pretty high vibration. But you can't fix a broken heart with your head. Can't be done because the break is not in the 400s. So when you try to use 400 to heal 75, it's like you're talking French, they're talking German. You know, it's not close enough. It's too many rungs higher. So a lot of people, you know, the things to say and the things not to say, lots of times people were trying to help us by coming with reason. You should be grateful you had him so long. Well, that's reasonable. Not helpful, though, right? And it's interesting, you know, how many scientists got to 499, because this is a logarithmic scale, but didn't jump to 500. So 500, in my experience, it's the 500 and above that actually heals heartbreak. So when Jerry says something and shares about hugging and shares about just being there, and putting a hand on somebody with being present to help them release their grief, what he's really saying is that I showed up as love, as a hug, or as a touch, as a presence, and that allowed the person to release all their grief. So he's vibrating at 500 or above when he's doing his beautiful hugs and being his beautiful presence. And that energy field in and of itself is healing. This is why I'm inviting you to practice listening, because when you're fully present, you are vibrating with a certain vibration. And over the course of this weekend, it's going to become higher. Whatever it is already good, and it's even better to be higher. So when Ruth was listening to Lori, she's vibrating. And because I've invited you not to speak, she's not going to be vibrating in the 400s, because usually when we're speaking, it's 400s. Although sometimes when we speak at the 400s, we trigger shame when we say something that lands wrong. So I took away from her speaking, so now she's doesn't have that veil between her and Lori, and so she shows up as her true essence, which is love. And then Lori receives that gift of that 500 plus vibration, feels heard, is healed. So that's why just showing up when you're listening and being your essence, which is love. And then above love, we've got joy, which is 540, which could be, you know, bliss, peace is 600. That's why I call it the peace method, to invite people to that 600. And then enlightened states around 700 or more. And then their emotions that go with them are there as well. And we've all touched, you know, we had a show of hands yesterday, but I'll just invite everybody by a show of hands to say, have you had a moment where you felt like you had an extraordinary experience and touched that peace or that sense of enlightenment or bliss or just kind of a breakthrough, like, wow. So we've had very, very high vibration moments. And we can remember those, and therefore we can access them again, right? Thanks for your great question. I went off on a big tangent about it, Julia. But speaking about anger sort of led into this. Anyone have any comments or ahas or questions about this? There's a lot of information on this chart, and I do want to acknowledge that it's from Power Versus Force by Dr. Hawkins, which I totally recommend that you read. And it is helpful to just notice the emotions that go alongside with these various different levels. So, you know, grief, he's saying, is basically kind of regret. So if you notice that you're feeling anxious or whatever feeling you might be feeling, you can then be helped to discover what goes with it. So a lot of what we do here at the Grief Coach Academy is around acceptance, which is related to forgiveness. And you know, we're reaching for these higher states. Because in my that's another reason why, you know, the coach training is a year long, and that's another reason why a lot of people, you know, continue on for the mastery, is because it's really, oh, here's a secret that I shouldn't probably be telling you in the morning of the first day, but I'll tell you anyway. So it's really not about the coaching exercises. It's really about who you're being. And that's why we have this community, because it's an invitation to raise your level of consciousness and your being, because even just one point makes the world of difference, because it's a logarithmic scale. So as you're supported and enveloped in our community at the Grief Coach Academy, we're inviting you to step into your divine beingness and radiate that out to the world. And when you get stable in a certain vibration, then you automatically give that gift. And no matter what you say, when you say it from that vibration, it's an invitation for others to join you at that level. So Rain, you know, when she was being with someone who was passing, her being at her high vibration was emitting a very powerful blessing to the room and all who were nearby.